Okay, why are you an IFB? Billy Sunday was a Presbyterian. We all know Billy Sunday as this great preacher and evangelist, but he was a Presbyterian. Why wasn't he an IFB? John Wesley started the Methodist Church. We know him as a great preacher. Martin Luther, he started the Lutheran Church. We know him as a great Christian and all that. Well, why are we not these other denominations? Why are we not Calvinists? Why are we not Pentecostal? And why does it matter what denomination we are? Why does that matter? Firstly, I'm just going to go through by going through Independent Fundamental Baptist and what it means and what the Bible says about it to see how it lines up with the Bible. The term independent, it kind of means independent is a term for churches that emphasize the local church and do not follow a denominational body or convention.
Right.
As opposed to like other churches, like the Southern Baptist, they follow a convention and they have a convention controlling them. This means each church is responsible for itself. The pastor is the head authority over the church. We are independent in that we believe that each church is independent to each other. We are not a universal church. You know, I even heard a Baptist preach about everyone that's saved, that's the whole church. It's just a bunch of saved people that what makes up the whole church. It's not a baptized group of believers. That's what we believe the church is. And we believe the church is self-governing. The pastor, the deacons, and the members in the congregation should make the decisions for the church. Another church, even though it might be IFB also, it shouldn't tell us what to do. We should be making our own decision. It might be a big church, and we might be a small church. It still doesn't have the right to tell us what to do. Now, we're independent. Next, we are fundamental. Now, fundamental, kind of talked about this a little bit. We are fundamental in that we believe and hold to and adhere to kind of the fundamentals of the faith. And I'm just going to go through each fundamental of the faith. I'm going to go through it with the verses. I don't know, you might want to write some of this stuff down. The first one I have is the virgin birth and deity of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel," which Emmanuel means God with us. In Philippians 2:5 and 6, it talks about, let me turn there real quick. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." So the deity of Christ, it means that Jesus is equal to God, that Jesus is God.
Right.
And then secondly, we see the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ and blood atonement.
Right.
In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "Who his own self bare our sins and his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed."
Amen.
You see, Jesus, we believe that Jesus took our place on the cross to die for our sins, and he substituted our punishment for us.
Right.
And then the blood atonement, that's in Romans 3:25, it says, "In whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God."
Mm-hmm.
We believe that by Jesus, before in the Old Testament, they used to have a sacrifice once a year for all the sins of the people, and they had to keep on doing it. We believe that Jesus, when Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross, when his blood was shed, that he did it for all time. We're basically past, present, and future.
Amen.
We don't have to do it every year or every time you sin. Mm-hmm. Jesus did it once and for all.
Amen.
And then thirdly, you see the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Matthew 28:6. I'll just turn there for context. Okay. And basically, I'll start reading in verse number 5. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which is crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord lay. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's just right after Jesus died on the cross, like 3 days after, and the women came to see him, to mourn his death, and the angels were there, and Jesus was not there. He rose again. Mm-hmm. That's where we get that from, resurrection of Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, we see the verbal inspiration of the scriptures. Mm-hmm. That's in 2 Timothy 3:16.
Right.
And it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So we believe that God himself inspired these very words.
Right.
He inspired men to write it. And that's where we get the Bible from.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, last fundamental of the faith, there's only five of them. The second coming of Christ.
Yes.
And Acts 1:11, it says, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? This same Jesus was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just after when Jesus rose again and he ascended into heaven as they watched him. They were looking up, and then the angels told him, hey, don't be not necessarily surprised, but Jesus is going to come again, just
right.
like that.
Right.
So we got the fundamentals of the faith. So I'm using a lot of verses because I'm showing you guys that this is not just something that a man came up with. This
right.
is what the Bible says.
Right.
We're independent fundamental Baptists because this comes from the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the early church did in the Bible. So now Baptists... I'm going to go through 8 biblical truths known as the Baptist distinctives.
Good.
But distinctives, it kind of just means what makes us different from everyone else.
Right.
So, it's an acronym. So, it's Baptist. I'm going to go through each letter, so you might want to write it down as that. So, for B, I have biblical authority.
Mm-hmm.
That comes from 2 Peter 1:21. It says, For prophecy came not in old time, but... By the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they're moved by the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, we believe that because God inspired and wrote the Bible, that this is God's word, that the Bible has authority over us.
Right.
It's in all practices. It should basically control what the church does and what we do and the decisions that we make.
Right.
And then for A, we have the autonomy of the local church. Now, this is a big word. It just basically means like self-governing.
Mm-hmm.
So in Matthew 18:17, it says, And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of saying like we don't have to go to a whole, you know, group of people outside of our church. We should need to go kind of govern ourselves within the church. You know, I'm going to go through in a second the ordinances and all that and how that works. But so B was biblical authority, A, autonomy of the local church. And then we have P, that is the priesthood of all believers.
Right.
I'll turn to 1 Peter for that. Be 1 Peter 2:4-9. It says, To whom coming as into a living stone, disallowed indeed of man, but chosen of God and precious. You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in a Sion, a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Amen.
So by priesthood of believers, it basically means that we don't have to go to a priest And a priest doesn't have to be on our behalf of the sin. Right. We can go to God ourselves. We can pray to God. We don't have to confess to a priest. Mm-hmm. And then, so that was P, priesthood of all believers. And then we have T, two ordinances. Now the two ordinances are baptism and communion, or the Lord's Supper, basically. Mm-hmm. We have that in Acts 2:41. It says, "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Right. So basically, we believe that after you get saved, you have to basically, it's not counting your salvation as baptism, but it's kind of showing in the likeness of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and walking into a new life, basically showing that we've been saved. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, and this is not none of the sprinkling stuff. This is like full, you're getting like dumped in the water. And then we have communion that is in 1 Corinthians 11:24, and it says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.'" Mm-hmm. So Jesus commanded us to do this in remembrance of him. That is the Lord's Supper, when we take the bread and the grape juice. The bread is his body, and then the grape juice and symbolic of his blood.
Right.
And then we have, let's see, lost myself. And then for I, we have individual soul liberty. Mm-hmm. So in Romans 14:5, it says, "One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind." Mm-hmm. God, we believe that we each have freedom, and some of these decisions that we make, we don't have to, well, it's kind of hard to explain, but we do. We each have freedom in these decisions, because in Romans 14, they're arguing about the meats and all this stuff. You can't eat these certain meats. And the Apostle Paul said, you make your decision on that, basically. But, okay, now we go on to, okay, I, individual soul liberty, and the S, saved, baptized, church membership.
Right.
So we believe that, basically, a church is a local group of saved, baptized believers. In order, you know, the Methodists, I heard of a Methodist church, you have to give $4,000 to become a member. Here, we, as Baptists, independent fundamental Baptists, you just have to get saved, baptized, and you can be in the church. And then, the second T, we're almost done. We have two offices, pastor and deacon. So I get in Acts 20:28, it says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood." Mm-hmm. So God ordained two offices for a church, a pastor, and then in 1 Timothy, let me turn there. 1 Timothy 3. Start in verse number 8. It says, "Likewise must deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in pure conscience. And let there also first be proved, and let them use the office of deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children and own houses well. For they that have used the office of deacon well purchases themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." Mm-hmm. So basically, the Bible talks about these two offices, pastor and deacon. You know, I heard of some Baptist churches that don't even have deacons, but the Bible clearly talks about it.
Right.
And then, let's see, finally, the final letter, S, separation of church and state. So Matthew 22:21 says it to them, says, "Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." Mm-hmm. So this is Jesus talking. And I don't believe, it's just most people talk about separation of church and state, that the church should be separated from the government. I believe it's kind of talking about the other way around. The government should have nothing controlling over the church.
Right.
And Jesus is obviously talking about this verse, you know, if it's the government, just give it to them. And the things that are God, give it to God.
Right.
Like, if you need to have to pay taxes, pay taxes. Even if it's some crazy amount, you still do it. Because that's what's right. Now, those are all the Baptist distinctives. I went through the fundamentals of the faith. And basically, why I am an independent fundamental Baptist is because I believe all of these things that we believe, all these things that I went through, are in the Bible. All these other, there's a lot of other denominations. They use other versions of the Bible that are weirdly translated, all this stuff.
Right.
But I believe, well, as we're going to come in the later weeks, we're going to talk about the KJV Bible. But I believe that the KJV Bible was inspired by God. Mm-hmm. And I believe this is exactly what God wants us to do.
Right.
And it mostly closely resembles what the church was in the Bible.
Right.